From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour, and we're pleased to welcome in Nicole Zamora from our great Catholic funeral and cemetery services. Nicole, good day to you.
Good day. How are you?
I'm just couldn't be better.
I thought I would take a walk today in the cemetery. Well, it was really hot. So although walks is very peaceful on our cemetery grounds, I would not recommend on such a hot day.
Yes, it was a little bit the opposite of brisk. I don't know what that is. Broiling, I guess.
Yes, I would agree. Yep.
Well, very good. Very good. You've got a lot going on, whether it's hot or it's not hot.
Exactly, right? So we just finished up, you know, on this week, our Memorial Day Mass and patriotic celebrations at four of our locations.
Yes.
Beautiful, so beautiful. You know, Bishop Soto did an amazing job here at St. Mary's, and we had a dedication out at St. Patrick's in Grass Valley for their new Veterans Columbarium. And then also this week, we hosted a blood drive. So we worked with the American Red Cross and were able to help save some lives with folks donating some blood.
Yeah, you know, I've participated in a number of those, and I always try to talk myself out of it. And then afterwards, I'm happy that I did it.
Yes, you always feel good that you did it, but yeah, just the thought of, you know, that needle and all that, but hey, we all made it through it, donated some blood, so that was good. It felt good to give back, as it always, you know, does.
Oh, that's great. And did you have a good turnout?
We did. You know, we were able to book all the appointments we could. You know, COVID rules are still in place, so, you know, couldn't have hundreds of people come on over. But we did have a good handful, and the Red Cross was very appreciative. So that is really good. And then we have another event coming up on Thursday, June 17th. So I'm really excited about this one. We are hosting a lunch and learn at St. Mary's Cemetery and Funeral Center, and that's Thursday, June 17th. And so, right, if any of your listeners are able to join us, we'd love for them to. It's a free lunch followed by a 30-minute presentation. So you come, you get your, you know, lovely sandwich and cookie and soda or water, and, you know, get a little bit of fellowship, as now we're able to, you know, once June 17th is here, mingle a little bit. And then we'll be giving a presentation, you know, on the benefits of planning your funeral, mortuary, cremation, or cemetery services ahead of time. So, you know, kind of a good thing. It gets people out of the house, gets you to, you know, have a conversation that we all need to have. None of us, you know, usually want to have it, but it is very helpful once, you know, items have been pre-planned.
Well, it's surprising what a free lunch will bring out.
I mean, right? Yeah. Weren't we all warned that there is no such thing as a free lunch? But
that's
there
right.
is. We promise there is a free lunch. If you just want to come and, you know, have lunch and enjoy our company, well, that is okay. We promise you'll still take away nuggets of information, and most importantly, you know, why you should at least start that conversation with your family.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you're absolutely right. People would rather not talk about it. You know, we'd rather talk about who won the Giants game last night, if they won. You know,
yeah.
But you know, that's human nature. It's a had one friend describe it. It's the elephant in the room. We think, oh, everything's great. I just got a new job and I got a raise and my kids got straight A's and, you know, and I just want to freeze time right now. I just want to freeze it. And that elephant sitting in the corner is saying, well, one day this is all going to fade away. And, you know, I mean, and it's not a, fortunately, it's not a terrible thing. We have Jesus Christ to thank for that. We have God to thank for that.
Right?
Yeah.
So the person that leaves and, you know, they're making their journey to the afterlife and to heaven, well, you know, let's pray for their souls and hope that they did the things, right, that we're supposed to do on earth. But for the family that's left behind when something isn't planned, it's just so hard. It's just, you know, you're grieving. You've just lost, you know, the love of your life, your best friend, your partner, and now you're like, wait, I don't know if he wanted to be cremated or a full body burial. You know, like, we didn't talk about that over dinner. And it makes you think, like, well, why didn't we talk about that over dinner? You know, So, bring your, you know, we've had some success with these lunch and learns throughout the region. We held one at Christ the King back in May, and the folks that came, you know, really benefited from learning. And you were able to ask questions and get this, right? Someone else has a question that you didn't even think about.
Right.
So if you come to one of these and you hear their question, you're like, I didn't even know that was a question. Like, how would someone know to ask that?
Mm-hmm.
And so it gets your, you know, it gets you thinking, it gets you talking. And after the lunch and learn, right, we'll be ready to answer even more questions or to set up an appointment to, you know, meet with one of our family service advisors and go over a personal planning guide, which is, again, completely free. And it gets you to at least start writing down and talking about what you want, you know, your end of life, you know, wishes. What are those? And I know my colleagues in hospice and those, you know, over at the hospital, they would tell you the same thing. All these conversations are so very hard to have, but at least start them, right? Don't leave your loved ones having to make all those decisions for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what sorts of questions do you get?
Well, our favorite question, which is usually whispered to us, is cremation okay?
Well, I'm of that generation that grew up and believed it wasn't okay.
Right? And that sticks with you because, believe it or not, it's only been okay since 1963. So, right, we walk folks through that. What does that look like? Letting them know that right here, you know, at St. Mary's, we have the ability to cremate your loved one on site. But the important part, you know, about cremation is that, of course, our loved ones are laid to rest on consecrated ground. So, you know, we walk them through what that looks like. Like, how do I have a funeral mass if I'm going to be cremated? Well, you know, the body should be present. The body should be present at that vigil. The body should be present at the funeral mass, and then the cremation takes place, and then we're laid to rest. So, you know, we walk folks through that. We hear their questions. We, you know, we definitely empathize with them when they're like, but my kids said they'd only give me a day to do all this. Well, let's start having those conversations with our kids so that they understand, you know, the beauty of the rituals behind the vigil, behind the funeral mass, so that, you know, we honestly can get our loved ones' wishes, you know, met. We can say what we want. And then, you know, we help you, you know, if financing is something you need, we have 0% finance options. And these are, of course, on all the times that you pre-plan something, right? Whether you're pre-planning that mortuary, cremation, funeral, and then, you know, we also pre-plan your cemetery.
Mm-hmm. So financially, what are everything somebody's going to need to do, whether they're doing it now or they're doing it, you know, under a lot of stress and pressure, time pressure and everything else after somebody dies?
Well, believe it or not, someone were to die, right, and you had to come into one of our offices, there'd be 82 questions being fired at you all at once when you're like, wait, my loved one just passed away.
Right.
I can't even get past that, right?
Right?
And now you want me to tell you their mother's maiden name? Well, how do I know that, you know?
Yep.
So there's those 82 questions we can help go over with you what that looks like, what, you know, you'll need to know ahead of time. Obviously, some of them we can't answer until that happens, right? Because one is, where did the death take place? But mm-hmm. that one we're okay answering, you right. know? And then financially, we help you. So a lot of people will come to us even today and say, oh, we have it all taken care of. We got this done, you know, 15 years ago. And we'll, you know, first of all, we congratulate them. But then we ask a few more probing questions, like, okay, if you got it done 15 years ago, the diocese didn't own a funeral home 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. Do you have your funeral portion pre-planned? And many people look at you with those deer in the headlights, you know, look like, what does that mean? I just told you I have my plot and I have everything planned. And we're like, yes, but who's your mortuary? So a lot of times, even for any of the listeners out there, if you have something planned, give us a call and set up an appointment so we can go over it with you. You know, what maybe has changed? What maybe, you know, didn't we have? Like, you know, again, 15 years ago, we didn't have a mortuary, so we couldn't have helped you pre-plan that. So we'll go over all those. You know, what do you want your funeral to look like, the mortuary portion to look like? And then where do you want your final resting place to be? We have 11 cemeteries, you know, here in the Diocese of Sacramento, and we can help you with any of those 11. You know, then there's all the questions of, do you want in-ground? Do you want a crypt? If you want to be cremated, are you looking at a glass front niche? Are you looking at a, you know, at a niche outside? Are you looking to have your cremated remains laid to rest with some of your other family members? So there, as you can see, even just sitting here, right? And those are questions that easily come off the top of my head. But then, you know, as you're going deeper in the conversation with our family service advisors, they're going to help you realize, you know, kind of, oh, well, I never thought about this. Or, oh, what do I want to do here?
So sometimes you'll maybe you're reading an obituary in a paper and it'll say burial will take place in Ohio or something. I remember I had an uncle who lived in Phoenix but had grown up and spent much of his life in Portland and wanted to be buried in Portland. How does that work? You go through a Catholic cemeteries in Portland or here? Like I say this person lived here, but wants to be buried in Portland. Do they go through you? Do they go through the Archdiocese of Portland? How do they do that?
That is a great question, right? Especially with us being a mobile society, right? We COVID was the only time that probably most of us stayed in those homes and weren't traveling or looking to move, or some people, you know, end up moving. So great question. So first of all, if someone is here, right, and they're anticipating that they're going to be living here, but they want to be buried maybe back in their, you know, family plot in Portland, then they would still need a funeral home here. And so that's where we could come into play. We would be able to, you know, pre-need them, have them taken care of on the funeral side, and then, yes, then look to transport the body or the cremated remains to Portland for that final disposition.
I see. Wow. So what's the toughest question you get?
The toughest kind of statement or question I get is, why does it matter? I'll be dead anyway, right? Why does it matter if I get buried? Why does it, you know, I don't know, just cremate me and throw me somewhere? Well, you know, as a Catholic that, again, believes in our faith and believes in our rituals, that, you know, that hurts. God mm-hmm, gave us mm-hmm. these bodies as temples, right? And as the temple that housed our souls, they deserve a proper burial. And so if you look back throughout, you know, our faith, we are called to bury the dead. And so, you know, it almost makes me think of, okay, you're running a race, right? And you want to run a marathon. And so you tell your family, I'm going to run this marathon, and I'm so excited about it. And obviously you go through months of training. Your family's there with you. They understand why you can't come, you know, to Sunday dinner one night, because that's the night that you're training. And you go, and it's finally marathon day and your family's out there, right, because they love you and they support you, and you run your marathon and you finish your marathon, and now it's time to get your medal, and you're not there. You left.
Mm-hmm.
You decided to go back home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how sad is that for your family that was with you throughout the whole journey of you running this marathon, right?
Right.
They sacrificed some stuff. They were there for the highs and the lows, and then they weren't able to celebrate you. Whether you took first or, you know, 500th, they don't care. They're your family, and they're there for you. And so really that's part in helping folks to understand, too, that we want your wishes known so that your family doesn't have to guess. But all of this is to help your family as they're going through such a terrible time in their lives because they're missing you. You, again, are probably on your journey home, right? Home to heaven. But your family is left without you and your physical body being there with them. So the vigil, the funeral mass, and then the committal has a beautiful way, you know, that's gifted to us by the church because they've set these rituals. They've set the example of what it looks like, and they help us to be able to say that final goodbye.
Yeah, indeed. So tell us a little more about the lunch, about how that will happen.
Okay, so lunch, we ask everyone to RSVP just so we know who's coming. So super simple, just go to our website, which is bfbfsacramento.org, and you'll see an events tab. Scroll on down to the June 17th Lunch and Learn and RSVP. We just ask for your name, phone number, and an email address. You can bring a guest. You can actually bring, you know, 2 to 3 guests with you. You come the day of the 17th at 11:30 in the morning. We will greet you. You will grab your prepackaged sandwich, probably from one of the local sandwich shops, some chips, some, you know, fruit, and then have a seat. And, you know, after a little bit of, again, fellowship, then we will begin the presentation. We promise to get you out of there no later than 1 p.m. And if someone cannot make the lunch and learn, but they would like to know more information or how to start this conversation, or maybe they want to go to a different lunch and learn, we do have them throughout the year. And so it's just pretty easy. Just go to our website and, you know, look under events or give me a call at 916-840-2138, and I'll be able to let you know when we're doing a lunch and learn in your area.
I want to do a prime rib and learn.
I do have a pretty, you know, a strict budget. So, yes, I would love to give people prime rib. But, you know, sandwiches are delicious.
You know something? I remember one time they were surveying kind of famous people, and I can't remember where it was, but what's your favorite food, you know? And, you know, people were coming up with all this exotic stuff. And then they interviewed some famous football coach. He said, my favorite food? Sandwiches. Any kind of sandwich. I'm with him.
I mean,
with him.
Right? They leave you full. They have, you know, it's everything in a good sandwich. The meat. Yep. So, and if there are any dietary restrictions, you know, folks can let us know that in the notes section, or again, give me a call and we will help. We will try to accommodate for sure.
And again, it's June the 17th.
June the 17th.
And that's a Thursday.
Thursday from 11:30 to 1, right at St. Mary's Cemetery and Funeral Center, which is on the corner of Fruit Ridge and 65th.
Right. Very good. Nicole, thanks for all you do. I know it's vital work, and it's so important for everyone. Thanks so much, and I hope you get a great turnout.
Aw, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on so I can share a little bit about our ministry with all your listeners. And I always enjoy getting to chat with you.
Oh, same to you, Nicole. God bless.
All right, God bless you.
That's Nicole Zamora, the outreach community outreach director for Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services here in the Diocese of Sacramento. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
This is Deacon Kevin Stasko, the Director of the Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministry and Family and Faith Formation, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Deacon Stasko, for all you do here in the Diocese of Sacramento, and if your parish where you serve as a deacon, St. Lawrence. And we're pleased to welcome in Tammy Babich, who is in charge of the summer session at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. Tammy, good day to you.
Hi, Bob. Good day to everybody else, too.
Well, good to have you with us on this warm Sacramento day. As summer school, first question, is it air-conditioned?
Well, you know what? Some years it's not warm enough, so I could say we bought what we ordered this year. It'll be nice and warm.
Indeed.
But yes, we'll have some air conditioning.
Good. Tell us a little bit about the school first.
Sure. Well, the program itself, we have three different programs. So we start as young as preschool, 3 to 5 year olds. We also offer a kinder readiness program for students that are getting ready to enter kindergarten. And then we offer a first through seventh grade program. So a little bit diverse, and we mesh it all together.
Tell us about the school in general.
Our school. Okay, we're out here in Elk Grove.
Right.
Typically have 100 preschoolers. On non-COVID years, and we run about 320 students from kindergarten through eighth grade.
Wow.
Yeah.
And your role there during the school year?
And so during the school year, I am the preschool director. I opened the preschool 13 years ago and started this summer program as well 13 years ago.
Wow. So I remember when I was growing up, preschool was not very prevalent. In fact, when my oldest kids were growing up, preschool was not very prevalent. And now it seems like elementary school pretty much can't exist without, pre-K and preschool.
You know, it really helps set the children up for success because school these days, you start in kindergarten and we aren't playing with blocks and doing painting. So that's all done in preschool so that the minute they hit kindergarten, you know, it's like a job and education has just grown in a different direction. So the necessity of just learning how to work with others and sharing and compassion, all those pieces now are done in preschool, where in our day it used to be done in kindergarten.
Yeah, I heard an educator the other day talking about this very subject and saying that that it's shown, you know, studies, there's been enough years of pretty, you know, widespread preschool that the graduation rate from high school is stunningly higher among kids that went to preschool.
And it has been amazing, even since we've been at the school and being able to see those first eighth graders that we brought up as preschoolers go through the program. We really saw a difference, and the teachers would comment, and they would come over to preschool, and they go, "We have to just see what you're doing over here, because they are noticing a difference in the students." So, more independent, able to make decisions, more confident. So it does make a difference.
Oh, that's great. That's great, and help to a lot of parents too, for sure.
It does. It does, and it is nice starting those bonds with parents as well, and just helping parents grow.
Exactly. Has your background always been in preschool education?
No, actually, I was in retail for years.
Oh, wow.
And once my kids started into preschool 25 years ago, it caused me to relook at things and decide that was the direction that I wanted to go.
Very interesting. So did you go back to school?
I actually had double majored, and so it worked out for me, but since then have gone and taken many courses, and we work very closely. Our program works very closely with the Sacramento County Office of Education, and we're in a program called Raising Quality Together, and have ranked very high in the Sacramento area
in that
program. So it's helped our teachers grow as well.
So are there state or county or city standards for preschools, whether they're public or private?
There are, and that's what part of this Raising Quality Together is several years back, they decided they wanted to set standards so that people had something to really judge a school by. And so that's what this program is actually measuring up to standards and being able to look at various schools and see what standards they meet. And so that started about at least 8 years ago, and that's the program that we're in.
So is there a difference between pre-K, pre-K and preschool?
You know what? Preschool's typically talking about three-year-olds, going into four-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
And then pre-K, you're starting to talk about that four- or five-year-olds. And then there's, a lot of the public schools have TK, and a lot of our schools in the diocese have TK as well. And it's just a matter of your age and where you fall. Students that didn't quite make that cut for kindergarten age, September, that September 1st birthday being five, they would fall into these other programs.
Very good. So how soon is this all starting
St.
Elizabeth and Seton?
Monday's the day, June 7th. We open the doors and we start our summer program. We will run for 7 weeks of the summer, ending July 30th.
Wow, just a couple of weeks before school starts.
That's it. If we run it, we try to help families have a place for the students and make it really fun for the students as well.
So compared to the regular school year, do you get a different clientele, a different group of students?
It is. It is different. We'll have a lot of the same students. We do have students that are maybe within our church community or local neighborhood kids that will come to our program as well, not even St. Elizabeth and Seton students. So we have students that have even gone through our preschool program that go out to public school, and they come back every year for summer school and be back with other friends. So it's a little bit open to everybody. And then the way we operate is we are doing a lot of learning, but we're doing it in a fun, relaxed way.
Mm-hmm. So do most of our Catholic schools in the diocese offer a summer program?
Not all of them, and really not as many as you would think. So they're few and far between, I'd say.
So you would attract from other schools?
We do. We do have schools that are close to Elk Grove that we've pulled from Holy Spirit, St. Charles, St. Pat's. We've had students from all of those parishes as well.
Very good. In the last couple of months, I've gotten to know Elk Grove very well. My son is on a high school volleyball team, and I think every high school in Elk Grove is in the league. So,
oh my gosh! Well, so there's a lot of them.
We know Elk Grove Boulevard very well.
back and forth.
You turn here and it's that high school, and you turn here and it's that high school.
That's a fun time.
What an interesting city. I mean, I grew up in the area, and I remember when there were actually elk in Elk Grove.
Wow, that's before my time.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I was here when there was only, blinking lights all the way down Elk Grove floor. So that's how far back I go.
Yeah, well, it's wonderful that we have this school there and so many great Catholic schools throughout the diocese. Tell us about your faculty for summer school.
Okay, so what we do is we bring in all the teachers that want to work for summer. And the opportunities that we have there is giving the students an opportunity to meet their teachers, learn their teachers prior to fall and school starting in the fall. So with that, we will run maybe 2 weeks of one staff, have another group come in. So we're changing it up all the time and making that fun for the students as well. And the teachers all have their specialties that they like to teach. So it makes the program really diverse.
Very good. And you said, how many students will you have in the summer?
In the summer program, it varies. We've been up to 75 to 100 students. And that's going from preschool all the way up to seventh grade.
Oh, very good. Well, we certainly wish you well. Is this a special time for you in terms of as a teacher? Is it a more relaxed atmosphere?
You know what? It is relaxed. We really get the opportunity to bond with students. We really take this time to help students bond with each other. So it becomes a very close family, just because we have more one-on-one time with the students and able to help them grow in the areas that they want to grow in.
Very good. Well, God bless everybody there and everybody involved, and hope you have just a wonderful summer session. Tammy, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate the opportunity to chat.
Very good. Well, I hope our paths cross again soon.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, take care. That's Tammy Babich, who's runs the summer school program at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, our great elementary school in Elk Grove. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. Foundation enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy Ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of America, Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley and Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley and Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
This is Yasmin Castellanos from the Catholic School Department, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you. Thanks for that wonderful introduction. Thanks for all you do here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Wow. You know, every now and then, just about every month, the diocese lists the ordination anniversaries for our priests and our deacons. And, we just got the anniversaries for June, which is kind of the ordination month. And, oh, my goodness, that's a long, long, long list. But we'll share some of them with you now and some of them with you as we go through the month of June. Father Sylvester Kwiatkowski, and we won't give you the date in June, but June in 1989. Father Antonio Basella, 2013. Father Ronald Torres in 2013. Guillermo Hernandez in 2013. Colin Wynn in 2013. Jay Galicon in 2013, Guillermo Ramirez in 2013, Stephen Wood in 2019, Manuel Rodriguez in 2019, Father Dean Marshall in 2019, Liam McSweeney in 1963, William Donnelly in 1961, Father Michael Kiernan, these are all priests, 1973, Father John Connolly, 1976, on and on and on. And we will continue to share these with you as we, Gabe, remind me every day, we have a long list of priests and deacons who have were ordained during the month of May, and we'd like to honor all of them for their great service and great work here in the Diocese of Sacramento. The Franciscan University's Catechetical Institute, a new and rapidly growing collection of excellent Catholic ministry workshops that offers unrivaled formation to those engaged in forming others. A parish or school's annual subscription gives unlimited access to all the individuals who sign up under their parish or school at no additional cost to them. It's completely accessible. Any and all teachers, catechists, RCIA teams, parish leaders, and parents will have unlimited access to these unique online workshops in the comfort of their own homes or in a group setting. It's deeply diverse. Hundreds of workshops in all ministry fields are being developed for this platform to allow a diocese to thoroughly train and spiritually nurture any person involved in passing on the faith, and it's flexible. Dioceses, parishes, and schools can use this vast collection of information workshops in many ways, super flexible, as part of a ministry certification process, as ongoing formation or continuing education, as enrichment for any role of passing on the faith to others, especially volunteers, as a substantive and engaging means to help parents grow in their vocation, as in-depth content for group discussions, and as a means to develop parish evangelization, social outreach, and RCIA teams. Over 70 dioceses have already partnered with the Franciscan University's Catechetical Institute. It's growing by two partners a month, even though the institute itself is only 3 years old. Contact the Catechetical Institute at Franciscan University to learn more about it. And speaking of education, a little closer to home, the Diocese of Sacramento last year, as you probably well know, the Catholic schools went to in-person very early, long before most of the other schools did, And by golly, it has worked out. But with that, they maintained online presence and online education for those students that requested it, those students that needed it for whatever reason. And the heroic teachers in this diocese were teaching in person and also taking care of those students in that class who were doing online learning. And they did it because they believe in the mission. And they put in the extra work and the extra effort and really a heroic effort to get it all done, and it worked well. Well, there will be a number of kids still in online learning in the fall. But instead of having them each broken down into separate schools throughout the diocese, the Diocese of Sacramento School Department has come up with a plan to have an online academy, which would be a diocesan-wide one academy staffed by teachers who are teaching just the online academy, freeing up the teachers in the other elementary schools to teach just the in-person. It's a brilliant idea. I think it's going to really have legs. I think it's going to really take off. And, you know, a side benefit of this, which it's not the main reason they did it, but the side benefit of it is it will allow kids in areas that are just simply too far for a Catholic school. This is 20 counties in the Diocese of Sacramento, from Galt and Elk Grove all the way north to Yreka, the Oregon border, east to Nevada, west to the Pacific Ocean, east, you know, to Nevada, Lake Tahoe, that area, and up to the Oregon border. And people, some people are a long way from a Catholic elementary school or a Catholic high school. This will allow them to have that opportunity. So I think it's really, really an excellent idea. This is a letter from a executive director of Catholic schools, Lincoln Snyder. He says, "Dear Catholic school community, in response to the needs of families which desire an ongoing online Catholic school experience for their students, we are excited to announce the founding of Blessed Sacrament Online Academy, the newest Catholic school of the Diocese of Sacramento, opening this coming school year 2021-2022. Our schools transitioned to distance learning in March of 2020. Not this March, last March, so like 15 months ago. And though we successfully returned to campus in the fall, we continue to offer a distance option for any family who desires it. This year, our teachers have delivered instruction to students in class and at home simultaneously, and we are proud of their heroic efforts to meet the needs of every family where they are. Although the vast majority of our families look forward to being on campus next year, we know that others will want to continue to learn online. It thus gives me great pride to share that we are partnering with Catholic Virtual to found a fully online Catholic elementary school." And Catholic Virtual, they are the gold standard of online learning. "Blessed Sacrament Online Academy, which will open this fall. This dedicated online school will allow us to offer an exceptional experience to our long-term distance learners and families who live in communities without a Catholic school option. We are confident that Blessed Sacrament Online Academy's status as a specialized distance school will guarantee an excellent Catholic experience, building on all that we have learned this past year. Here are some of the benefits we are excited to offer through Blessed Sacrament." And this is from Lincoln Snyder. "Blessed Sacrament Online Academy, classes that have been designed with online learning and Catholic values in mind, enabling us to give your children an authentic Catholic online learning experience, and it will be taught, again, by teachers who are exclusively involved in online learning, using a program put together, shared by Catholic Virtual with the Diocese of Sacramento. So all of the top experts in online learning will be involved in this. Also, classes that incorporate both asynchronous, self-paced, and synchronous teacher-led live session components, streamlined, fully integrated learning platforms offering students access to all classwork from one location, parental access to student pacing and performance through a My Virtual Campus Guardian account, an extensive library of core subjects, engaging electives and religion classes, ensuring that students are nurtured both academically and spiritually. These are the words of Lincoln Snyder. As you start to think about next year, we want to make sure you have the information you need to make a well-informed decision about your child's education. Catholic Virtual not only shares our commitment to high-quality Catholic education, but also to the Catholic faith. So with the help of the Catholic Virtual team, we will be hosting parent information nights, and during these sessions, they will provide an overview of the new online options and Catholic Virtual. And Lincoln wants to remind you that these new options are for families seeking an online-only school. If your child has already returned to the classroom, we encourage you to keep them in the classroom. If you're interested in attending these sessions or learning more about it, go to scd.org/schools/online for more information. So thank you all to your continued commitment to Catholic education. And that's from Lincoln Snyder, the executive director of our Catholic schools. Someone we're going to be leaving, not leaving Sacramento, but is going to take a job, national job, with us as the executive director, CEO of the National Catholic Educational Association, and it's the largest schools organization in the country, and he's going to do a great job there, and we will have a new executive director of Catholic schools on board in the on July the 1st. This is a letter to the faithful on new protocols for worship and ministry from Bishop Soto, and we'll share this with you again a few times as we get closer to the date, but this is the date we've all been waiting for 15 months now, from the complete closing of our churches, and then a lot of online services, a lot of different ways that we found with the bishop's permission to distribute Holy Communion, a lot of creative ways, and then a gradual, very limited attendance at our churches. Well, this is the day we have, not today, but this is the announcement that we've been waiting for. Starting Friday, June 18, these are the words of Bishop Soto, pastors may accommodate the faithful for the celebration of the sacrifice of the Mass, as well as other sacramental and worship services at, do you want to guess the percentage? Not 25%, not 50, not 75, not 99, 100% of the seating capacity in the parish churches. Bishop Soto writes, I am rescinding the general dispensation from the obligation to attend Sunday Mass. Starting Sunday, June 20, 2021, all the Catholic faithful in the Diocese of Sacramento are obliged to personally attend and actively participate in the Sunday celebration of the sacrifice of the Mass. That's from Canon 1247. Pastors and the faithful are counseled that individuals are not obligated to attend the Eucharist on Sunday or other obligatory solemnities if they are sick, have a vulnerable health condition, are caring for someone with a vulnerable health condition, or have other serious reasons, and that's from Canon 1245 and also from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, section 2181. All the faithful are reminded of the perennial obligation to keep holy the Lord's Day by observing Sunday with prayer, spiritual reflection, works of mercy, fellowship, and rest. Pastors and the faithful should continue to observe sensible public health precautions. Practice frequent hand washing and use of hand sanitizer. Refrain from handshaking and other forms of physical contact with others outside of one's household. Continue to clean the pews at least twice on Sundays and other days when there are multiple services. Facial masks will still be encouraged. Priests, deacons, and extraordinary ministers should continue to use facial masks for the distribution of communion. During the distribution of Holy Communion, priests, deacons, and extraordinary ministers should have sanitizer available for use when needed. For Holy Communion, the distribution of the cup is still suspended. The exchange of the sign of peace during Mass may resume. The faithful should refrain from gestures of physical touching with persons outside of one's household. A respectful bow or wave is encouraged. Congregational singing may resume. Musicians and choirs should observe sensible public health precautions. Pastors should use their discretion based on local circumstances regarding the use of facial masks by musicians, cantors, and choirs. This is a statement from Bishop Soto. Liturgical processions may resume. Entrance procession, the gospel procession, the procession of the offertory gifts, and the recessional procession. It is recommended that the collection baskets be handled only by the ushers rather than passed from person to person. Holy water may be available to the faithful in the traditional fonts at the entrance of the church. Live streaming the Sunday celebrations of the sacrifice of the Mass for the benefit of those who cannot attend in person due to illness or other circumstances noted above is encouraged. And boy, has that been a blessing for all of us. All the faithful are encouraged to receive the COVID-19 vaccination when available and consult with your doctor regarding any personal health concerns. Other ministerial, catechetical, and social gatherings may resume while also observing sensible public health precautions as outlined above. Pastors should take additional precautions for the handling of food and the provision of materials to avoid the use of shared utensils. Avoiding self-serve options for food and drink is encouraged. The return to regular congregational gatherings will be welcomed by many. Mutual respect, charity, and patience should be cheerfully exercised so that all the members of the body of Christ are welcomed and encouraged by this blessed opportunity. Over the course of the long pandemic journey, we have learned the personal duty we have for one another's spiritual and physical health. Whenever we gather, and even when we are apart, the risks of infection still threaten us. Our communion with the charity and mercy of Christ will help safeguard us and lead us on the path of holiness together. May the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary and Saint Joseph, her most chaste spouse, bring an end to the pandemic and fill us with the joy and hope of the Lord Jesus. And that's respectfully from Bishop Jaime Soto, the Bishop of the Diocese of Sacramento. And boy, that is a day we've been waiting for. And this is starting on Friday, June 18, and the first Sunday Mass will be the 20th. Of course, the Vigil Mass on the 19th is covered as well. And you can read the Bishop's Decree, which is a more formal official decree, saying virtually the same thing he said in this letter to the faithful. So a big day, an important day, and a very hopeful day for all of us. Well, a lot of things coming up this summer and coming up right around the bend at the end of summer. The Summer Camp Pandola is coming to a parish near you. They will be offering day camps for campers entering first grade through seventh grade at four parishes around the diocese for 4 weeks in July. During day camp, campers will get to experience the spirit of Camp Pandola closer to home with activities including crafts, games, nature activities, community building. They're going to go on hikes. Each week we'll have a different theme and at a different location. I think this is genius, and I think it's going to really take off. It'll be 9 to 3 every day, first grade through seventh grade, in person. For example, July 5th through the 9th, and these are all co-ed sessions. They're not separate sections for boys and girls. They're all co-ed sections. July 5th through the 9th, fun in the sun at Holy Family in Citrus Heights. And then it all shifts to Weird Science, July 12th to the 16th at St. James Parish in my hometown of Davis, my home parish. On July 19th to the 23rd, Christmas in July at Sacred Heart up in the great city of Anderson. And then Survivor Week, July 26th to the 30th at Holy Trinity Parish up on top of the hill in El Dorado Hills. And even though you're certainly allowed to attend as many of those as you wish, the thinking is that there will probably be a separate group in each area, and you're only paying for one. You pay for whichever one you attend. You're not paying for all four. So it's really a great, great opportunity. You can contact pandola.org or contact Jennifer Campbell, the director of Camp Pandola, scd.org at 916-733-0135. Also, there will be a family camping at Camp Pandola Tuesdays through Sundays from July 6th through the 1st of August. And all the facilities at Camp Pandola will be open to you. There won't be a regular camp program, but if you want to, you know, take a dip in the pond or participate in archery, you'll take a hike, all those things will be available to you that are normally at Camp Pandola. And you can take the whole family, and all your meals will be provided. They will have, you know, the regular meal service there, so that you don't have to worry about packing up a lot of food to participate in family camping. Again, it will be open Tuesdays through Sundays, July 6th to August 1st. It's up in Camptonville in Yuba County, a beautiful setting in the foothills of the Sierra Nevada, about 3,000 feet elevation. Again, there's just a lot to do there. I've been there, and it's a beautiful scene. They have, of course, as I said, archery in the pond. They also have a chapel, arts and crafts area. Equipment will be checked out by the staff. Meals will be prepared for families to enjoy in the outside dining area. They can also have guided tours to Bullard's Bar Lake and enjoy a day trip out of camp. And on Friday nights through Sunday afternoons, they will offer socially distanced programming, including Holy Mass and a movie night under the stars. Again, go to pandola.org or give Jennifer Campbell a call at 916-733-0135. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
We stand and lift our hands for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He! And together we sing.